It is so good to be in the house, Lord. I want to talk about today, I guess if I could title it anything else, I'd say Mary's Anointing. But as our pastor's 50th birthday, the congregation decided to give him a new suit. He was so touched by the gift that the following Sunday he stood up before everyone, and with tears in his eyes, he announced, "Today, I'm preaching to you in my birthday suit." Yeah. Thank God I don't wear suits. Preacher was finishing up his sermon on temperance, and with great expectation, he said, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd throw it in the river." The congregation nodded with approval. And so with even greater emphasis, he added, "If I had all the wine in the world, I'd throw it in the river as well." The people clapped and shouted, "Amen!" And finally, the preacher concluded, "And if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd take it and throw it in the river as well." He sat down. Song leader stood up and says, "Let's sing hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River?" And with that, with me downtown, no. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, and I want you to understand, Bethany was one of his favorite places. He was in Bethany an awful lot of times in the Scripture, and so we're going to look at a couple of those today. But he came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclined at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, Why wasn't this perfume sold? And the money given to the poor, it's worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. I think it's interesting, not related to my topic all day, but Jesus gave Judas the job of carrying the money bag, knowing he was a thief. Because I believe that Christ wants to see the best in each one of us. And he's willing to say, "You know what, I know you've struggled with this in the past, but your destiny's better than that. You're better than that." And so, I digress. Verse 7, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Let's pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. You've already shown up. We are so thankful for your healing touch and everything. I just pray that you just speak to your people today, that you would give me a fresh anointing of your word. Help me, Lord, to give the thoughts that you've shared with me so I can share with them, that they might be motivated to love you more. And so, Father, I just pray, God, that you'd help open our hearts to hear, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And, Lord, I just pray that each one of us would just have a revelation of your goodness. And, Lord, that you continue to speak to us and help us to grow and be more like you each day. And so I just pray that you'd bless your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to reference a couple of the scriptures on the town of Bethany, concerning Bethany, but and I think I hope you'll find them interesting as I did, but I just want to mention a few points, if you will, about this that we read in John chapter 12. So here's Jesus once again in this town. Lazarus has already been risen from the dead. He's alive and well, and Martha's serving dinner. And in walks Miriam, verse number 3, it says, "Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." Let me pause just for a moment. And first off, Mary took this expensive perfume and she pours it on Jesus. Do you know what this perfume was used for? It was used for burial. So here's a question for you. Why is it that Mary decided to save it instead of using it on Lazarus, her brother who died? I'm going to try to answer that in a little bit. This was expensive perfume. The Bible says it was about a year's wages. And I'm going to try to come back to that as well as I try to lay these points out, and I'm going to try to deal with each point in just a few moments. But Mary takes this perfume, she pours it on the feet of Jesus and uses her hair to wipe his feet. Now, what we need to understand is don't confuse this story with the one that's similar in Scripture. The one that's similar says that this was a not righteous woman that did it before. So that Mary, they believe, was Mary Magdalene. This was Mary, the sister of Lazarus, a totally different Mary. So don't confuse the two similarities in the story. They're not the same one. Maybe Mary heard about this other Mary and thought, that's such a great act of worship. I want to do that. Or maybe she never even heard the story. I don't know. But for whatever reason, Mary used this flask and she wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. So one thing you understand is that I think it's really extremely important to make note of is that Mark accounts this story and he says that Mary broke the flask. Mark's account of the same story in the Gospel of Luke says that she broke it. I think that's really important, and here's why. First off, it shows us that she used everything she had. There was no putting it back in the container. There was no just pouring out a little bit. When she broke it, it all had to be used, and there was none left. And I think that's important because I think here's the lesson we could learn from that. We need, as the body of Christ, as people got to pour ourselves out before the Lord. We cannot leave anything left over. It's got everything that is that we have. Everything. As a matter of fact, the Scripture says we must love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. Everything about us, we need to just come to Him and seek Him and honor Him and worship Him. So we cannot have anything left over. We need to pour ourselves out before the Lord. There can be no room for anything. There can be no room for any more of us. It's got to be all of Him. John the Baptist put it this way, "I must decrease, He must increase." So we've got to understand that when we break open that flask, we have nothing left. It's saying, "Lord, I give you everything I have. It's yours." And I'll tell you, as we come before the Lord broken, He will say to us, as He did with Mary, "Leave her alone." Because when people begin to do that, when people begin to think about what you're doing, some will think, "Why are you doing it?" 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us." We have this treasure. We are a treasure. A jar of clay, but a treasure nonetheless to the Lord. And as we open up, we break open that flask to Him and say, "Lord, I anoint Your feet. I give You everything. I do it all. It's my act of worship." See, here's the thing. When Mary anointed Jesus, the Scripture says that the house was filled with the aroma from that jar. Church, when we learn to worship, breaking our jars before Him, the aroma touches the throne room of heaven. The aroma touches the throne room of God. And God becomes and he enters into place of worship. He comes and He fills the room with His presence because He feels welcomed. Another point is this. Mary let her hair down. This was scandalous at best. She went into a room filled with men. That was the custom. When we look at the next story about her looking with when Martha gets involved, but she's sitting down at the feet of Jesus. She's wiping her she puts her hair down and wipes His feet with her hair. That would have been totally out of culture. That would have been a total no-no in the custom of the day. And she breaks this jar of perfume and she wipes the feet of Jesus with her hair. That would have been scandalous. But here's what we can learn from this. We should never worry about what somebody else will think about our worship. Maybe they don't understand it all. After all, Judas even asked, "Why waste all this? Why not give that to the poor? Why are you wasting all this perfume?" Maybe people won't understand. Maybe some will criticize and maybe others will even be offended. But Jesus, who sees the heart, will come to your side and say, "Leave them alone." In Genesis chapter 8, Noah offers God an offering. Let's look at it for a moment. He says this in Genesis 8 verses 20 and 21. They had just come down out of the ark. They're now on dry land. Noah wants to begin to do some things for being thankful. And it says this in verse 20. "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done.'" Verse 1 says, he smelt the pleasing aroma. When we bring our offering, the Bible says we offer a sacrifice of praise. It's not always easy to come to church and worship the Lord. We've had a bad week. Things have happened in life and not everything's gone as we hoped it would go. And so we come to church sometimes with even less expectation we should have, but nonetheless we come to church, and when we offer that sacrifice of praise, it becomes a sweet aroma to the Lord. Amen? When we come as a church with authentic, heartfelt worship, even when misunderstood by some, it becomes a sweet aroma to the Lord. So Mary, when she anointed Jesus, the aroma filled the house. I believe God is waiting for us to break our jars of worship. To lay down every obstacle that gets in the way, to lay down everything that happens. Say, Lord, today I break my jar before you. I want nothing in return. I want nothing back. I just want to worship you because you're worthy. Psalm 141 and 2 tells us, may my prayer be set before you like incense. Oh, when we worship, when we pray to Him, when we come before His throne, when we say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do this on my own. It's like incense before the Lord. He says, and then may the lifting up my hands be like the evening sacrifice. When I don't feel like when my hands are heavy, when my body's weighed down with some of the things of life, but Lord, when I lift my hands up today, let it be like the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be like a sweet incense, the aroma that just transfers when I ignite that and it fills the room, it fills the place where we are. Here's why I think Mary saved that flask for Jesus. She understood His value. Now, I don't want you to get the impression, I don't think this is at all the case, but I don't want you to get the impression that she didn't value her brother Lazarus. I believe she did. It's not what I'm trying to say, but maybe she remembered what Jesus said when they sent messengers out to say, Lazarus, the one you love, is sick. Jesus said, the sickness will not be unto death. So maybe Mary understood that and says, you know what, I'm not going to use this for my burial because I heard Jesus say, he's not going to die. And so maybe she just held on to it and she just said, I don't need it because He's coming back to life. Maybe she understood God and took Him at His word. And even when she questioned some of the things that happened, when Martha came back, when Jesus finally got there, Martha said, if you would have been here, Lord, Mary maybe thinking, Martha, it's okay. Just I sat at His feet. I understand what it means. It's going to be all right. He's got a better plan. Maybe she understood what indeed He really meant. So she wanted to understand and she wanted to hold that flashback as, that this Jesus is coming and I understand His worth and I understand His value, I understand everything. So maybe she understood that, and so she sent out those messengers and they heard that and she thought, I'll wait. I don't know what caused her to hold on to that flask. I don't know what caused her to wait on Jesus to break that open before Him, but I believe that first off, by breaking that flask, she was saying, I want nothing left but my brokenness before you. You are worth every penny of what this costs. I give you everything. I hold nothing back. All I have is yours. Understand, that was a lot of value. That wasn't just something you'd just go down the store and buy that day and say, let's have some perfume, some nard. This was part of the retirement plan, possibly. But Mary said, oh, Jesus, there's something about that name. There's something about you. There's something that I just know I need to give you everything. And church, when you do that, when we do that, when we give everything, some will not understand. Some will say, what a waste. The reason why Judas said that was just he didn't understand his worth. When people see us pouring ourselves out before the Lord, some will say, what a waste. And it's simply because they just don't understand His worth. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Let me say this. The worth of Jesus in your eyes shows by what you're willing to give to Him. Lord, I'll give you everything except. You can have it all, but let me just hold back this. See, when you realize His worth, you understand how valuable He is, we're just willing to say, Lord, I give you everything, no questions asked. All I have is yours. What is He worth to you? She's saying you won't pay more than what something's worth. If I'm looking for a new car, and if I go to somebody and they want $100,000 for a $5,000 car, I'm not going to get it. It's not worth it. Amen? So even at the store, we won't pay for what we don't feel something is worth. If it's worth it to us, we'll pay the price, no problem at all. But if we feel like it's just asking way too much, we're like, I'll wait till it goes on sale. We'll only pay what people are willing. It's only worth what someone's willing to pay. Maybe to you, seeing someone break open that jar, the Lord seems like a waste. But think about the price heaven paid. What a huge price was paid in heaven to bring you relationship with the Father. Jesus paid our ransom by going to the cross. He thought you were worth it. That's good news. And that is worth breaking our jars over before Him. That's worth everything, just breaking our jars before Him, because God just realized, Lord, the worth of who You are. I give You my all. I give You everything. You know, I hear stories of people like Heidi and Roland Baker in Mozambique who never asked for a dime. Didn't go there as, you know, mission supported by somebody just to get money and help. They just trusted in God with everything, and God's seen them through. We need to break open our jars and say, Lord, some aren't going to understand it. Some aren't going to get it. Some are going to question what a waste. But to you, you're worth it. In Scripture, a boy was willing to give forth his lunch, and he saw a miracle. The rich young ruler, on the other hand, walked away not seeing the value of giving everything he had. Mary recognized his worth. What Mary did was really an illustration, example of extravagant worship, one of extravagant love and of extravagant devotion. Mary was saying, Lord, you're worth it. I'm holding nothing back. I don't care if anyone ever understands, if everyone thinks it's a good idea. I don't care if some of them think it's a waste. I'm giving my best. I'm giving you everything. All I have is yours. See, here's the thing. When there's less of us in the way, there's more of Him that can work. He so desires to work with you, in you, and through you. We just need to learn how to partner with Him. Partner with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, use me. I just want to be a coin in your pocket. Spend me what you want. Let me try to close this out with one more story coming from this place called Bethany. And by the way, just off track here, another story about Bethany. One time as Jesus walking through there, remember he saw the fig tree growing. He cursed the fig tree because he went to look figs. There was no figs there. That was on his way to Bethany. Bethany means house of figs. Ironic? Coincident? I don't think so. By the way, the reason why the fig tree was cursed was because the leaves don't come out unless the figs come out too. And so basically what happened was that Jesus was saying that was given a false witness of who I am, of what he bore, because it didn't bear the fruit. We have too many believers that give false witness of who he is. They judge, think he's some big taskmaster in heaven saying, I'm going to get you. That's not him. He's a good, good father. He is graceful and merciful and loving, and so he wants us to be a true witness and bear the fruit of the Spirit that he gives to all mankind that know him. Let me get back to my story. You remember the time that Martha got a little irritated with Mary? Jesus comes to their house, and Martha's busy working away in the kitchen. But Mary's someplace else, sitting in the room, once again full of men, listening to Jesus. Let's look at the story in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. This would be Bethany. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Here's the thing. Once again, we find Mary in a place that normally would not allow women to be. They would not be walking there. She doesn't really care what others think. She values time at the feet of Jesus. She understands what's important. She understands the value that he has in his teaching and what he's trying to share, the lessons he's trying to give. He understands, and she says, I don't care what people might think around me. I'm gonna sit in the posture of a disciple. Another no-no in the culture of the day. And in walks Martha. Maybe she's bringing something for them to eat. And she notices her sister Mary sitting there. And she knows maybe Mary's not supposed to be there. And so she gets a little irritated at her sibling. And she begins to criticize, and almost like Judas did in our original, says, what a waste. She's like, what a waste of time. There's things to do in the kitchen. And so she asks, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. See, the scripture tells that Martha was distracted. The Greek word for distracted there, translated, would mean preoccupied, pulled in different directions, or driven about mentally. Preoccupied, pulled in different directions, or driven about mentally. Jesus goes on to say, Martha, why are you so distracted? Sit here for a while. You're welcome to. I can eat in a little bit. I'm not worried about that. Don't worry about what others think. Don't worry. Sit. This is what's important, to sit at my feet. This is what's important. That's what Mary has chosen. So I wonder how many times we come to church distracted, preoccupied, or pulled in different directions. I believe Jesus is saying, sit at my feet, break open your jar of worship. Now come fill that place with your presence. Joy, would you come? Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3 says this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a plant of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Maybe you feel like you've had a life full of ashes. Break your jar before the Lord. And He'll give you something so much better. Maybe you've walked through life with despair, thinking, woe is me, but you break your jar before the Lord and He'll give you the oil of joy. But Pastor, you understand, people have talked about my worship. It's okay. Don't be concerned. Just break it before the feet of Jesus. He'll say, leave Him alone. See, Scripture tells us He inhabits the praises of His people. When we learn not to be distracted, pulled in different directions, but we come with just one purpose. We went to the Newsboys this past weekend, Friday night, and it had a bunch of different singers and bands and different things, and it had Big Church Night Out, that's what they called it, because it was just a bunch of believers, people of all different denominations, races, backgrounds, place of worship, gathering together as a body of Christ to worship the One. Now, Talia, when we just break our jars of worship before Him, He enters. When we invite His presence, say, Lord, I invite You, I give You, here it is. I break it before You and give You nothing. I leave nothing left over. Fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your grace. Fill me with Your love. Fill me with joy unspeakable, full of glory. He does it. But Mary, Judas is saying it's a waste. I don't care. Martha's irritated. I don't care. I need to sit at the feet of Jesus. I need to break the vast before Him. He's so worthy. I understand His worth, and I can't get away from it. I just need to worship Him when everything is around me not working out, when all hell is breaking loose around me. I just need to come before Him and break what I have. And I'll tell you, church, we come to Him broken. He can use that. He'll make us a vessel of honor, an oak of righteousness. He loves you so much. There's nothing you can do to earn it. He loves you. There's nothing you can do to disqualify Him of it. He loves you too much. Heaven went bankrupt for you. We need to break our jars and have a sweet aroma. In the house of the Lord. Sing like never before, oh my soul. So Lord, today we come. I worship Your holy name. Let's just take a few moments and worship Him. Just take a few moments and receive what He has. He's here today. Holy Spirit, come. More Lord, more Lord, more Lord.
Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great.
Father, today we come to You as people that understand Your worth. So Lord, I come and I break my jar of worship. I come and I break my jar of self-righteousness. I break my jar of whatever, and I put them at the feet of Jesus, and I worship you. And Lord, as I ask for more of you, I believe you'll do that. I leave nothing left. My selfish ambitions. No, I want yours. Lord, everything that I have, I leave to you. Some might think that's a waste. Some might think it's not worth it. Some might think, what am I doing? It's a bad idea. But Lord, to you, I give, for you are worthy. And you are worth it. And I ask that you'll bless this word, God. Stir up our hearts. Stir up in us, God, a hope. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your healing touch today. For your spirit in this place. We are truly grateful. And Lord, we give you everything. And make us a vessel of honor for you, Father, in Jesus' name. And the church said,